Welcome to Grace River Church Online at Home. I'm so glad that you're here. If you're new here, I want to give a special shout out to you. If you would text the word FIRST to the number on the screen, we want you to know that you're always welcomed here at Grace River. We have a special message lined up just for you, and I hope and I pray that it will speak directly to your heart today. Let's dive in.
I'm Paul. I'm the Next Steps pastor here at Grace River. So glad that you joined us for Church Online this week as we continue in our series, Unstuck. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been in a big storm in your life. My guess is you have because, you know, if you live in Missouri, you certainly have, right? Like hailstorms, tornado, whatever it might be. But no matter if you've been in a big storm or not, we all face storms in our life. We face challenges in our life. We face these moments that are difficult and hard and challenging, and where we're fearful, where sometimes we're even just gripped with fear. And some of those storms have been real monsters. Some of those storms have seemingly come out of nowhere. Some you saw coming from miles and miles and miles away. And you know, Jesus said that we would all face hardship, we'd all face struggle, we'd all face storms in this life. It's part of being human. You know, with those storms, with that struggle comes worry, anxiety, fear, and we want to talk today about that. You know, fear is a natural human emotion, right? We're all going to feel it at some point or another, that anxiety, that worry, that fear that comes with doing life. Matter of fact, that fear is this natural human emotion. Sometimes it's a good thing, right? Like in the face of something that's dangerous, we have this fear that pulls us back and protects us. But so oftentimes, the fear in our life is irrational. It can be paralyzing, causing anxiety and worry that overwhelms us and leaves us, well, stuck, right? So how do we get unstuck? Because it's more than just saying, like, let's just quit worrying. Let's quit being anxious about that. Just stop it, right? Like, well, that doesn't really work. So I want to talk today from God's words in the Bible about how we can begin to get unstuck with God's help from our fear. You know, you've heard the phrase fight or flight, right? Like the idea that in a crisis, a person either is going to run to the issue or run away from the issue or be frozen in the middle of the issue. So if there's an accident, if there's a fire, someone's going to run towards the accident to help and someone's going to be stuck, unable to move forward. And so often we would say that the person that's the fight person, not the flight person, that the fight person is somebody who's courageous, right? But I want to dispel that myth just a little bit. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's moving forward in the face of fear. And the way that you do that is all about our focus. And God says we all can do that. In fact, the Bible even calls us to live that way. So often we face the storms of life and we end up gripped with fear. We end up stuck. We think it's all over. Maybe you've walked through something very painful and difficult and it just feels like life has ended, like you can't move forward. How do we get unstuck by God's grace? Well, I want to look in the Old Testament book of Numbers today. It's the fourth book of the Old Testament. In Numbers 13 and 14, we read this account of the Hebrew people at an inflection point in their history that speaks to us about this idea of fight, flight, and focus. You know, the people had come out of slavery in Egypt. They had been in slavery for 400 years. They had been rescued and wandered through the wilderness, and now they're at the edge of the promised land, this land that God promised to give to them. They faced all sorts of difficult situations, and as they get to the edge of the promised land, they decide to send out 12 scout troops, one for each of the tribes of Israel, to go into this new promised land, to explore it, and to come back with a report. That's what we read in Numbers chapter 13, verse 25 through 29. It says this: after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. And they reported to the whole community what they had seen. And they showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. And this was the report given to Moses. It says, "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley." And so here's these guys coming back, these scout troops, bringing this report. And here's what's interesting. There was 12 scout troops. They all saw the same thing. They all experienced the same things. And no one was denying that the land was a good land. No one was denying that there was large fortified cities. But there was two different groups in those 12 people. They saw things very, very differently. They didn't all come to the same conclusions. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, we read about a guy named Caleb. It says, "But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. 'Let's go at once to take the land,' he said. 'We can certainly conquer it.'" And what Caleb in essence says is, "Let's fight." Like, he's running to the fire, right? He's going to deal with it. He goes, "We got it. We can do it." But in Numbers chapter 13, verse 31, it says this: "But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. 'We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are.'" Flight, right? Caleb and another guy named Joshua, they were fight. The rest of these guys, they were flight. "We can't do it. It's too scary. It's too hard." So what's the difference, right? Maybe Caleb and Joshua were just delusional. Maybe they were overconfident in their own abilities. Maybe the other 10 were chicken littles. They were scared of their own shadow. I actually think, though, it's something else. Like, why did one have faith and the other have fear? It was all about focus. You know, it was the same situation. It was the same challenges. One was ready to fight. One was ready to flee. You know, if we want to get unstuck from our fear, we need the right focus, right? We need the right focus. Is your focus on your fear or on your Father? Is it your focus on your fear or on your Heavenly Father? Is it on your storm or is it on your Savior? You know, Caleb and Joshua, they focused on their Heavenly Father. He was with them. He was going before them. The other 10 were focused on their fear. They were forgetting God's power. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 32 and 33, it says this: "So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. 'The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers,' and that's what they thought too." So they begin spreading this bad report. They stir all the people up. They start stoking the fear, exaggerating. Now it wasn't that the land was a good land, it's that the land will devour anyone who tries to live there. It's not that we saw some large people, it's now everyone we saw was huge. Fear looks for friends. It looks for friends who they can stir up and kind of build the embers of this forest fire that becomes larger and larger. That kind of fear can paralyze you. And listen, what we focus on becomes bigger and bigger in our life. It becomes this monster. And listen, you probably know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you've ever had fear or worry or anxiety just begin to overwhelm you. You begin thinking about this situation or that situation. It becomes larger and larger and larger to where you feel like you can't even move forward. It begins to paralyze you. This thing that you played up in your mind. Now, the Israelites, by that night, were whipped up into this frenzy. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, it says this: "Then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. 'If only we died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness,' they complained." Like, they put their focus on their fear, and it paralyzed them. They got so worked up about an unknown future that they would have rather died back in Egypt or die right there in the desert. They go on to say, basically, "We want to go back to Egypt, back to slavery." And honestly, that's what worry, anxiety, and fear do, right? They enslave us. They keep us stuck. It's only when we confront our fears in faith that we can move forward in freedom. I heard somebody say one time that there are very few monsters who warrant the fear that we have in them. I don't know if you've been fearful of something, maybe bad news from a doctor, and you get an email and you just can't open it right away. A college acceptance letter to the college that has been your dream school, and the letter comes in the mail and you bring it aside, but you can't open it. You're fearful that it could be a no. Relationally, you start thinking about all the worst case scenarios and you kind of wait and wait and wait to have this conversation. And so often, what we discover when we open up the letter, when we open up the email, when we have the conversation is that it is not nearly as bad as we thought. I heard someone say one time that about 90% of what we worry about doesn't actually come to fruition. But when we allow it to sit and become this bigger and bigger monster, it can leave us paralyzed. It can leave us stuck. By the way, we all need friends. We all need friends who will help us to fight, not to flee. Who will help us to focus on our Father, not our fear. We all need people like that. People who will not whip things up into a frenzy, but who will stand with us and help us focus on our Father, who will allow us to live in faith, not in fear. And I mean, I want to encourage you to have that kind of community right where you're at. And one of the ways that we do that here at Grace River is through our small groups. And we have small group sign up happening right now that will start in the middle of February. And so I want to encourage you, man, jump into a group, put yourself around a community of some other people who can be those friends that won't stir things into a frenzy, but instead will give you faith, will encourage you to move forward in the face of your fear and to put your eyes on your Father. You know, when you're forced or when you're faced with fear, when you want to flee, not fight, when you're feeling paralyzed, it's time to refocus. Is your focus on your Father or on your fear? Caleb knew that they needed to deal with this quickly. They needed to deal with this thing before it became this forest fire that couldn't be put out. So he tries to push the people forward. Let's go. We can do it. Let's move forward. Don't let your fear grow into this monster. We need to do the same thing, to deal with our fear and to move quickly. Now, why could Caleb do this? Why can we do this? Not because of our own skill and ability, not because the circumstances and situations are no big deal, not because it isn't scary or we get all of our questions answered. It's because who goes with us? That we're not alone in this, that God is with us. And Caleb wanted to just refocus the people, to put their eyes on their Father, not their fear. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 through 8, says this: "Two of them who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land that we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and to give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. And Joshua and Caleb, they simply remind them of the truth. Like, it's a good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's the promised land of God. He actually promised that he would bring us into this land. And he goes with us. And so if he's pleased with us, he'll walk with us. He goes before us. Like, it's okay. We don't have to be focused on our fear. We can be focused on our Father. And in faith, we can move forward. Caleb says, we can't do this because of our own ability, but because God is with us. And yes, Caleb says to the people, like, I get it. We were enslaved in Egypt. And yes, I get it. The circumstances are a little challenging. But letting your fear of these people steal your faith in God is a bad trade. And so let me just ask you today. Where is the thing in your life that causes worry, anxiety, fear? Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a relationship thing. Maybe it's a health crisis. Are you letting that thing become this monster that is stealing your faith in God? Because if you are, that is always a bad trade. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4, a verse in the Old Testament of the Bible, it says this. This is an incredible verse. It says, you, God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Like, God is this God who does not change. It says, you, God, will keep. That's a promise. He'll keep us in perfect peace. And who doesn't want that, right? A perfect peace. A peace that's not based on the situations or the circumstances or the storm or the fear, but is focused on our Father. He'll keep in perfect peace. Who? He gives us two kind of glimpses to this. Those who trust in him and those whose thoughts are fixed on him. Those who trust in him and those whose thoughts are fixed on him. You know, Pastor Chris and I, two of the pastors here at Grace River, we've had the opportunity to go out to Montana fly fishing through the years through a partnership with an organization called Converge. They just want to love and care for pastors. And, you know, one of the things as we go out there and fly fish is that you're on this river, you're in this boat, and you're casting out into this river. It's not like a lake that's just calm, right? There's ripples and there's movement to the water. And so you throw the line out and there's a small little bobber on the end of that line sitting in the water. And you have to be so fixed on that bobber, so focused on that bobber. And we've got this beautiful scenery around us and you rarely even notice it because you're fixed on the bobber. And what Isaiah says is that if we want to experience that perfect peace, we need to be fixed on our Father. We need our eyes fixed on him. What we focus on becomes bigger and bigger in our life. If we want to have perfect peace, we need to have our eyes fixed on our Heavenly Father. This is what Caleb and Joshua were doing, right? They were moving forward in the face of fear, their eyes fixed on their Father. Now, and it's not just this idea of like, well, let's just quit worrying, let's quit being fearful, let's quit being anxious, just stop it. I mean, that's just not reality, right? And for some of us who've been struggling with anxiety or worry, there's medication, there's counselors who can help and support that. God's gifted people and scientists and counselors with ability to help us through that. But all of us deal with this idea of fear and worry and anxiety at different points in our life and in different ways. And one of the ways to begin to move through that is that we need to be fixed on our Father. And not just getting rid of those thoughts, but then replacing them. If we just get rid of them, then there's a void there, right? And so we need to fill our heart and our soul by replacing those thoughts with who God is and what his word says. If you don't backfill your mind and your heart with his words about who he is, we'll be right back in those same places. It's like a good lawn, right? that when you have a rich, thick lawn, there's no space for weeds to grow. But when it begins to get to thin out, all of a sudden weeds start popping up everywhere. We need to replace our thoughts with, renew our minds and our hearts with God's words about who he is, about what he says about us. To hide his word in our heart, to choke out fear. Where's your focus? Now, on the flip side of that, that anxiety, worry, and fear, is that our thoughts get focused on the circumstances and the outcomes of our life and the things that we're trying to kind of hold on to. And we need to fix our eyes on our Father and not our fear, to trust in God, not just our God. God's words are the ones that should guide us. And God's words can choke out the fear in our life. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, it's a verse that my wife used with one of our sons who struggled with anxiety and fear often. She would say this verse with him. It says this: "So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" How we would say it is, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." And we said that over and over and over again with our son. And listen, we need to hide words like that in our heart. Like, I don't have to be afraid because God is my helper. What can somebody do to me? Because God's with me. That's what Caleb believed. And that's what the Israelite people knew, but they just forgot. They forgot that they were in slavery and God rescued them. That they had an Egyptian army behind them and a sea in front of them, and God miraculously brought them through. That as they walked through the desert, they had no food and no water, and God miraculously provided for them. They had no reason to fear. They'd experienced God walking with them. But their focus got shifted onto their fear, to the storm in their life, not their Savior, to their fear, not their Father, and it left them stuck. And we need to remind ourselves of God's words, of his faithfulness in our past. And man, I want to encourage you, whether it's in an iPhone note, whether it's Post-it notes, whatever that thing is that's causing you to be stuck when it comes to worry, anxiety, and fear, I want to encourage you to go Google some verses about that. What does the Bible say about financial insecurity? What does the Bible say when I'm, you know, struggling in a relationship? What does the Bible say when I'm feeling this depression? What does the Bible say about who God is? And write down some verses that are meaningful to you that can speak truth into your life and put them someplace where you see them, where you repeat them over and over again. Let it become like a rich lawn choking out the weeds in your life, choking out the fear in your life. We need to replace that fear, that worry, that anxiety with who God is and what he says about who we are. The second key to perfect peace in Isaiah chapter 26 is those who trust in God. On the flip side, we trust in ourselves so often. Right? We have that issue of just like the storms in my life and the things that are going through my life. It comes from a heart that desires to be in control. Right? And that's really about a heart of pride, like to be my own God, to be in control. Man, I do this so often. Like, I want to take charge of my own life and handle things myself, and it really comes from a place of pride. I trust myself. The late author Tim Keller said this. He said, "It takes pride to be anxious." Isn't that interesting? It takes pride to be anxious. He goes, "I'm not wise enough to know how my life should go," and isn't that so true? Can we trust God with our future? Can we trust him with our future? Almost all of us struggle with this in some way or another. Like, we don't trust God, not really, not fully. And it's really deciding who's going to control my life. And the truth is, a lot of times we want to control our life, which ultimately is absolutely ridiculous. Because number one, I don't know about you, but this is true with me. When I try to control my life, I'm not so great at it. When I think I got the handle on it and I'll do this and I'll do that and I got it all figured out, like, a lot of times I've failed. A lot of times I've made bad decisions. I'm not so great at controlling my own life. And secondly, control is just an illusion. Right, and you know this. One doctor visit, one phone call, one pink slip, and your whole world is turned upside down. And what we thought we could control, we can't. He's our helper. We don't need to be afraid. He can bring you peace in the storms of life. And so for all those who fix their eyes on him, all those who trust him, he'll bring us perfect peace. Now, sadly, for the people of Israel, they didn't trust him. They turned back. They weren't willing to follow his lead. Their fear paralyzed them, and they were all about flight. Now, that wasn't the case with Caleb and Joshua. And this is what God says to Moses to tell the people. Numbers chapter 14, verse 30, he says this, "You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun." Listen, your focus will determine your future. Your focus is going to determine your future. And for the people of Israel, it determined their future. They wandered the desert for 40 years because they wouldn't trust God, because they couldn't get their focus off their fear. But for Caleb and Joshua, who put their focus on their father, it determined their future. And God blessed them. Listen, all of us are going to face fear, anxiety, worry. So I want to just give you a couple quick next steps. Number one, face your fear quickly. Face your fear quickly. Fight. Don't let it become this bigger and bigger monster. The quicker you can deal with it, the quicker you can face it, the more easily you'll be able to go through it. Secondly, replace worry and fear with God's words. Like that full, rich lawn, you need to keep replacing it with God's words about who he is and what he says about you and the situation. Hide those words in your heart. Let that be the thing that turns your focus. It'll fix your eyes on your father. And then lastly, acknowledge that you can't control it. And will you trust God with it? So, what's the thing for you? I want to encourage you right now. I'm going to pray, and I want to encourage you to just hold your hands out like this. And whatever that thing is that brings you the most worry, anxiety, fear, would you, as an act of the will, say, "God, here it is. Will you help me to fix my eyes on you? And I'm leaving this in your hands. I trust you." Let's pray. God, we bring these things to you now, and we trust you with them. We know that we can't control it, and even when we've tried, we don't do very well with it. But God, you are faithful. You are trustworthy. And so, God, we leave it in your hands. And would you help us to fix our eyes on you, that we would turn our focus not to fear, but to our Father, resting in your love and care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, hey, thanks so much for being with us today for Church Online. I hope it was an encouragement to you. I'd love to see you back here again. And as always, we meet every single Sunday at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 a.m. We'd love to see you in person. Well, until next week, have a great week, everybody. God bless.
I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take, and you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.